Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, it is Sunday night, and that's Familiar Slap of the Bass means it's time for the weekend wrap, surveying the squared circle. Well, we finally got the fight that everyone was waiting for this weekend, Kovalev Ward. We will be talking about that, waiting for my co-host to come in, but I also have, as usual, our favorite segment of the show, Chilling with the Champ, with Mr. Layman Brewster himself. Layman, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, what's up, JK? How you doing, man? I'm doing wonderful, man.
Oh, man, hey, you know how it is out here. We got a little rain, but, hey, things are what they are. So we had a good weekend as far as boxing was concerned. Of course, we had the big bout, the Kovalev bout, but we also had some good fights on Friday night, knockout night at the D. Let's talk a little bit about these young guys that fought their heart out. Langley, did you happen to catch any of the Friday night fights?
You know what, JK? Honestly, I didn't get to watch any of the fights, man. That was the day that I designated to taking my wife and doing something with her. So I actually ended up going to the Maxwell concert here in town with Mary J. Blige.
Okay. All right. Mary J. Blige and Maxwell. Yeah, we know that was definitely a wife night out, so hey man, definitely understand. Happy wife, happy life. I definitely understand. We also we have our co-host in here, Mr. Jabron Clemens. Jabron, how are we doing tonight, my man?
Doing great, man. Had a great week, great weekend. Just great boxing, man.
Well, now, you know, you happened to get to a press conference. It was held, I believe, at the Barclays Center. So we know we are going to have at least one fight this year. Can you kind of bring us up to date on, some of the things that were possibly talked about it, during the fight and give us some of the highlights of the press conference. I saw you had a lot of little clips online. You sent me some pictures, so I saw you were moving around. Saw some of the box of royalty there. So what went on at the press conference?
Oh man, it was great. It was a press conference / I would say like a city hall meeting. They brought everyone together, a lot of the political leaders in the area, the borough president, some people from Albany. We had Heather Hartley made statements. We had a military veteran come to the podium and state how that the ruling has affected his life. And we also had Miss Rosie Perez in the house. She came to the podium and stated, how it is affecting the community and the economy, and that, we're coming together as a community, not just boxing community, but just as people in general to try to get this thing turned around for the state of New York and for the upcoming boxers and people in the neighborhood. Yeah, so it was very great. Badu Jack and James DeGill, they are set to fight in January. James DeGill, he's the both of them are champions, but James DeGill is reigning champion. He's had the belt, his belt longer. He's a true professional. He was in tip-top shape, and the fight is a couple months away. You would think they was fighting next weekend. They both look great, but especially DeGill. There was a lot of former champions in the building also. The gentleman that knocked out Tommy Hearns, man, I'm forgetting his name. But anyway, it was a great atmosphere, great environment, and a lot of the people that was there also traveled out to Las Vegas to the fight this weekend. And to answer your question about Friday, yes, I saw the fights at Knockouts at the D. Unfortunately, some of our guests from last week did not come out on the winning side, but wishing them well going forward. Hope they can get things turned around, JK.
Yeah, they were. I know they were talking about some type of a compromise to the insurance bill, but what effect did that UFC bout did it seem to have what effect does that have on the boxing community as far as them having such a successful turnout, especially for Madison Square Garden? Is there anything booked after January? And have they said anything about the undercard of this fight yet?
Yes. They have Tank Davis. He's gonna be fighting the gentleman from Puerto Rico. I got so much going on in my head right now. I can't remember his name, but yeah, they have an undercard lined up, and also the Thurman Garcia fight is possibly gonna be there also. They're pushing for that. They spoke about that, and they're definitely pushing to have that also at the Barclay. But it's good that you brought that up about UFC, because that was one of the arguments about the whole ruling. That was something Lou DiBella really emphasized on about the law being passed, saying that, it was something kind of, with the UFC, but it seems like it was a gateway to and promote UFC/MMA. And, that's something that we've talked about constantly on the show about, the Bible of boxing. Even they have started to promote MMA fighting also. So that was amongst the conversation that was going around the crowd.
Layman, when you hear guys, on TV, you hear boxing announcers not boxing announcers, but, some of our so-called sports professionals and dignitaries, and I'm referring in this directly to one Mr. Skip Bayless. Skip is now on Undisputed with Shannon Sharp. And also Max Kellerman, who is on First Take now with Stephen A. And one of the arguments, especially between Skip Bayless and Shannon, was that Skip said that the UFC, by them having such success in New York, and the way things are developing, you have guys now saying that UFC has made boxing irrelevant. Layman, when you as a world champion hear statements like that, doesn't it kind of irk you and make, and say, like, what the hell are you people thinking? Like, this is just, one, I realize it's Madison Square Garden and the Mecca of of boxing, but by no means necessary should we consider boxing dead. Your thoughts on those statements?
Well, that's coming from obviously a biased person. You could tell that he has his mind made up. You know that he is an MMA fan just by the things he say, because a boxing fan would never say anything like that. And like I said to you, MMA is its own entity. It shouldn't even be compared with. Just like you don't compare judo and hapkido and other forms of fighting, you don't compare those with boxing. You know, they're their own entity. You know, without boxing, MMA wouldn't even exist. Why? Because every single MMA fighter in the entire world today goes to a boxing gym to learn how to box. They work with a boxing trainer to learn how to what they consider striking. So, again, you can't not compare the two, you know. And, you know, I go so far as to say when I get mad, you know, my retaliation is, you know, don't nobody want to see two men in draws rubbing on each other. You know, they want to see striking. That's why they stand up now more so than they do go down to the ground. Because if you look at the sport when it first began, with nobody standing up striking, fighting, as we call it, they call it striking, they were going to the ground. But after a while, how many times can you see two grown men on the floor rubbing against each other, sweating in their underwear? Nobody wants to see that. So now they stand up and they try to fight like real fighters do. Again, I'm not discrediting the sport, but I'm saying there is a difference. I'm not against MMA. I think it's a great sport, but for somebody to say those words that he said, that's an insult to a fighter, you know, and so he need to watch his mouth, you know, because everybody ain't educated. He might run into somebody at the wrong time that heard what he had to say, and he may pay for that, you know, just like you don't insult MMA. You know, it's they're two different sports. We're all men. We're here to eat. We're here to try to make a living and make some fame out of it if we can too. So I just think that you know, hey, man, kudos to MMA for its success, but you can't compare the two because, you know, MMA, like I said, if it wasn't for boxing, it wouldn't be MMA on so many levels. For one, like I say, as I explained the whole striking thing, two, all the laws that are in place to protect the MMA guys, it all came from boxing. So, again, you cannot compare. You can compare, but you can't compare. I mean, you can't put boxing down, because without boxing, there would be no MMA. If you tell everybody in MMA today, you can fight, but you can only throw punches if you're on the ground. You can't stand up. And matter of fact, you can't throw punches, period. You can just wrestle and do submissions and watch how quick it sinks. If every trainer in the boxing world stopped working with MMA fighters, again, watch how the sport will go down. So if anything, you could say MMA owe gratitude to boxing, man, and for that guy to say what he said, you know, he needs to get punched in his mouth, and that's coming from the champ, because like I said, if you want to do away with boxing, then you got to consider the fact that you're going to open up a can of worms, because I didn't run the street and sell drugs and shoot and kill people because I had a boxing gym to go to. Now, if you want to put my sport down to the point that it's no longer something that the kids is offered to kids, you watch how the crime rate go up, you know, so you know, that's just me, man. I'm very protective over boxing. I'm not here to put down any sport. You know, I love MMA. I think it's a great sport for those who have a love for it. But, again, if it wasn't for boxing, there wouldn't be no MMA. So that's my two cents, man.
No, you're going to give me at least a nickel, because I'm going to poke you a little bit more. Now,
come on.
You know, now, to me, part of the success of MMA is because they also feature so many women in their main events, the UFC 198 and 200 and all that. You always have some women that seem to be part of the main event, and that's not quite the case with boxing. It seems like the UFC, maybe because it's a smaller organization and has less people to deal with, they are able to promote their women and promote them quite successfully. The only thing we see in boxing is, the four-round fights, maybe, the six or eight-rounders. But it seems to me that the women in our sport are very underutilized. What's your perspective on, the promotion of women and the growth of MMA and the seemingly, putting our young ladies that have been practicing this and some of the other, we haven't really seen women's boxing covered to any extent since Leila Ali left. So, Layman, why is the UFC doing such a great job of promoting their women, and we seem to be kind of stagnant and not willing to put our women on TV and promote them in the same with the same passion that we do our male fighters? Is that going to be a problem as for the women going forward?
Well, I was hoping that by the time you finished your question that my mind would change, but it hasn't. So I just have to say it, man. And again, this is totally my opinion, and I take responsibility for what I say solely. Do you not see what they wear? And do you not see two women on the ground wrestling with their legs and butt and breasts all up in the air? You never get that from boxing. You never get that from boxing. It's sexier to see two women fighting in MMA than it is boxing, because in boxing, you got two people that's going to batter each other face at the end of the day. But, this is just me. You got two women sitting there wrestling with each other, and one girl leg between another girl, and arm and head, and in some type of way, it is it's a sexual type of attraction. See two men. That's why even in the movies, when you see like the two women fight, they highlight it like it's something special, like a cat fight, because those girls ain't out there with boxing gloves on. They out there with them little bitty, I think they like 4 ounce gloves on, and they grabbing each other, holding on to each other, and that's sexy, man. That's all I could really go get back to saying. So yeah, you can promote that, especially if they're a little cute, So I don't know how else to say that to you, man, because it's like you talk about boxing, you talk about Leila Ali, she's a beautiful lady. I mean, she's just beautiful. I mean, you can promote the fact that, yeah, she's beautiful, but at the end of the day, she's going to stand up and she's going to let her hands go on your face. I mean, ain't nothing sexy about that. But, you can see, I was just thinking of one of the girls, Ronda Rousey or something like that, man, on the ground wrestling with another girl like two cats. So, at the end of the day, the sex appeal wins, and that's just my opinion when it comes to female MMA. So, they in the cage, they on the canvas, you're a man, you got some beer in you. Yeah, your mind is thinking like that, unless you're gay. So I don't know.
And there's a chance that something could pop out.
Hello.
See, Jabron, I was going to come to you, like me and Layman, were the caveman, man, promoting the sex appeal and, thinking like, men did back in, the 80s and 90s, you know, before things being so politically correct. And here you come, you know, kind of throwing on the pile. As a millennial, I thought you might have a different opinion. But anyway, whatever your thoughts are, give them to us, Javon. As a millennial, what do you think? Why do you think there's such an appeal for UFC women, but we don't get the same for women's boxing? Do you agree with you know, the old Cro-Magnon theory that me and Layman adhere to, or, you know, as a millennial, is that above you guys, and you just want to watch it for the pure science of the sport?
No. Champ hit it on the head. Definitely, just a little bit of suspense there with it. You know, the sex appeal and suspense. You know, nobody wants to promote violence, but if you outside, you will ask somebody who would they rather see fighting, a guy or a girl. They're going to tell you a girl because there's a chance her top might get ripped off, her pants might get ripped off. You know, they would rather see that than two guys in their drawers wrestling around on the ground all sweaty. Nah, nobody want to see that. And if you want to watch that, they'll turn to wrestling.
Okay. But you know, when it's all said and done, now we did have Clarissa Shields. She made her debut on the pay per view. We've had some other ladies, Maureen Shay.
I'm sorry to cut you off, JK, but I'm glad you said her name. You bringing her up helps this argument. Okay, sex sales, right? So before Clarissa Shields got her pro debut, they got in front of fans. How was she promoted, JK? Do you know? She was
No.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. If you can Google it right now, she was promoted off of sex. They have her for a calendar and a couple of magazines posing nude with boxing gloves on. Google it. So before she got a pro debut to display her skills, they wanted to see her body. But her body what got her gold medals. Her skills got her the gold medals. So, I mean, those two are tied together. So that'll tell you right there that sex sells.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you about, you know, sex selling and whatnot. And, you know, but it just seemed, you know, to me, you know, that while they're talking about a lot of other things, you know, I mean, I think that's an area that should be addressed. We do have a lot of women, you know, that are in the fields, they just don't. I mean, you know, you just don't see them being promoted like you see the ladies in the MMA. I mean, you know, they've either been the co-main event in a lot of cases, when you talk around Ronda Rousey and Cyborg and some of those other women, you know, they are even able to make them main events. Layman, do you think that we will ever see a woman's fight as a main event? You know, I mean, have we become that open to women boxing, or do you think women's boxing is still held back, you know, by the way it's sponsored, such as, you know, LeBron was saying, you know, the women have to take their clothes off and, you know, they put them on there with boxing gloves. But even though the boxing skill part is what got them there, sex sells. But you also find, I mean, you know, every woman is not a fashionista, or, you know, after years of you know, putting their body through all of the agony of training. You know, sometimes you know, they might not appear as sexy as some of, you know, as some of the other women athletes. But I mean, hey, we got the Photoshop and paintbrush, all those things. But Layman, do you think that boxing will ever be able, in our lifetime, to sell a woman as a main event?
Yeah, I do. I believe that we can do it. I believe that it'll happen eventually. I think someone like an Ann Wolf could have been a main event, built up the right way. A Layla Ali could have been a main event, built up the right way. I don't ever see it being on the same level as MMA because, again, it's nothing sexy about two women, even if they're beautiful, punching each other, you know, versus two women who are on the ground and, like Jerron said, you know, with the possibility of something popping out, you know what I mean, in the middle of the fight, you know. So, you know, it just, I think it will happen eventually. I think it can happen, but it's going to take the right promotion. And, again, I don't think it'll compare to MMA because of the possibilities that MMA presents.
You know, we always talk about, you know, how hard it is for women to break into boxing. I mean, you know, you see the pioneers like, you know, Kathy Duva and you know, some of the other female promoters, and they talk about, you know, how hard it is, you know, to get their clients, you know, on a fight card. They talk about the hard struggles and things that they had to go through in order for them to get there. But Jabron, do you see any of the women promoters, whereas you know, we know Bob M and Golden Boy and all of that, you know, but other than Kathy Duva, do you think that you know, these women that have made it are perhaps doing a disservice to women's boxing by not promoting it more? I mean, these women are the only ones, you know, that have made it. So, you know, do you think, you know, they should do more for the promotion of women? Or do you think, you know, that now that they've made it, they seem to be sitting back on their laurels and you know, if a good one comes, then they promote it. And, you know, I mean, you know, we talked about Kathy Duva at one time, and you know, how you know, through the years she's managed to make her mark. Why aren't women promoters seem not willing to put women on their cards? What do you think about that, Jabron?
Well, it's a couple of barriers, because now, with women, it's tough enough as it is being a woman to, you know, to break down certain barriers. But now we're talking African-American women, you know. So that's two obstacles, you know. At first, I was a little harsh on, you know, Layla and Wolf. Well, Ann Wolf trains, but, you know, just of her being in that position and not doing more. But at the same time, the woman and the color factor, she might not have the same pedigree inside of her heart that her father had as far as trying to break down barriers. So that could, you know, also be a stranglehold on it too, you know, because it's not equal as far as the pay, the opportunity. So I mean, that could be that's just my opinion, what I think a lot of the hesitant with the women being more involved, because they will have to go through a lot more obstacles than just a male.
Layman, I know, you know, that you may not be privy to this, and, you know, I'm just trying to get your opinion. You know, like I said, you know, I mean, we know that Al has over 200 fighters signed, but does PBC, do you see them possibly being able to help women's boxing, or you know, by I know you don't know all of them, but do you know of any women that Al has signed?
No, I don't know any that he has signed, but I have been to cards where they actually there were girls actually fighting on the cards. So, but I don't know if they were signed. I didn't even question it. I was just there to do my job. But I don't know that is something that interests him, because at the end of the day, it's all about making money, and you cannot, and this is just speaking, this is me speaking on a business term, on a business level, if promoting a woman is not going to make you as much money, why do it? I mean, not to say that Al will, that he wouldn't, but even Christy Martin, as popular as she was in her day, she didn't headline cards. You know, you still had her on the undercards of, like, Mike Tyson and people like that, you know. I don't think that it would have been in the best interest of, I believe it was Don King, to make her the main event, especially because there's so much sexism in this world. Even with this election, had Hillary Clinton had been a man, she probably would have definitely got elected. But again, when we talk about MMA, we're talking about two girls, you know, groping each other, basically. So I think at the end of the day, I would say to you, yes, a woman can headline the card, but I think it has to be in her hometown, and she has to have made a mighty name for herself, like that Clarissa lady, the fighter. So, yeah, that's what I think, man.
I'm not gonna run this in the ground. I just wanted to see what you guys thought, and you know, I'm thinking when I think back to those laws that's being enacted in New York. Like I said, you know, a lot of this, you know, I see MMA, you know, being able because supposedly I think they have another card either in the month of December in New York, not in New York City, but I believe it's upstate New York. I'm not really sure, but it would just seem to me, you know, with all of the insurance rules put in place, you know, how do you justify having women, you know, as part of your main event? To pay so much insurance, so evidently they feel that they're pulling their weight in the MMA sense. But gentlemen, let's talk a little bit first about the first of all. Before we talk about Kovalev and Andre Ward, since you did see the fights. Jabron, Malcolm at the D, and as you said, we had most of them on the show. What did you think about you know, generally the fight card in Knockout at the D, and do you think that, you know, the suspense, like you said, you know, I mean, we had a lot of the card on our show talking to him, but you know, it's free and the boxing public, of course, loves free boxing. But, Ron, what did you think about the overall matchups? And, you know, until the insurance is settled up there in New York, do you see, what do you see as the prime vehicle to promote boxing or keep boxing alive in New York until this is settled? Since now it seems that there might be a possibility that there is going to be a compromise, and you do know that you're going to have at least one event in New York, as you said, in January. But after that, it's kind of unknown. What do you think about the Knockout at the D series, and what do you think? Series like these, do you think there are going to be more series like the Knockout at the D, possibly coming from Rhode Island, Connecticut, or maybe even Philly, since it seems like you guys are going to be blacked out for a while? Do you think other little series are going to pop up in states that don't have the same restrictions as New York?
Most definitely. Especially here on the East Coast, you got Philly, you got D.C., and you have the New England area, which, you know, mainly like Foxwood. The Knockout at the D is a great series. I'm trying to remember a fight card on Knockout at the D that I was disappointed, because you never know what's going to happen. It's not like you go into the fights and you say, well, we know the A-side is going to win, because that's not the case with Knockout at the D. It's 50-50, as we saw last week and plenty times before. I think some of the smaller promoters need, you know, either network with the promoter who handles Knockout at the D, and maybe we can get like Layman and the rest of the fellas trying to get these smaller tournaments going with these gyms. Hey, we could do that on a larger scale also, you know, get these different venues and fighters from those different clubs to go against the other ones, and it'll be great, because it seems they have a little following in Canada, and then you got it out there in California and Texas. So, yeah, I think, you know, those type of series will be great for boxing.
Layman, do you think that like I said, I'm just asking your personal opinion here. Do you think that Al, you know, now that things are kind of taking direction in New York, you know, as you were saying, you know, Al likes to make money. Do you think that Al is going to turn this into a way to not only promote the PBC series, but also, to maybe entrench himself a little deeper into the sport, and cut down some of all of this criticism that's been directed at the PB series? Or do you think that they're going to use this, as even more of an excuse to poke at the PBC series?
It's a good question, man. That's a very good question. I don't know the answer to that, to be honest with you. I think only time is going to tell, man. You know, the wicked is going to do what the wicked is going to do, or should I say the jealous is going to do what the jealous is going to do. As far as Al, Al is a true chess player, and I can assure you that he's probably already like two or three steps ahead of all of us in terms of this whole affair with New York. So I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to just see how this thing unfolds.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just, hey, man, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm from Northeastern Ohio, man. And, Al to me is a hustler. And any time you have a situation like this, it would seem to me that, like you said, I mean, you know, not only is he a hustler, but, you know, he's a hustler with an MBA. So he's playing on a big level, and I'm sure that he's going to find a way to make this somewhat advantageous. But gentlemen, let's talk about the big one last week, Andre Ward and Mr. Kovalev. Pretty exciting fight. Andre Ward gets knocked down in the second round, and of course, you know, one knows Kovalev won the first half of the fight, but it seems with the last round, winning the last round, Andre Ward equaled the victory. It was 114 to 113 on all the judges' scorecards. First of all, before we talk about the scores, let's talk about the fight. DeBron, what did you think, or have you been able to catch the fight, if you didn't, but able to catch the fight on the highlights on YouTube or anywhere? What did you think about the general action?
I thought it was a great fight. It went pretty much like almost like I expected it, a little back and forth. Eventually, Ward would get into his comfort zone. I watched the fight already 6 times and scored because, you know, I wanted, you know, to see about the controversy of how other people scored it. So I watched it numerous times, and after watching it 6 times, I got the same scorecard they did, 114-113.
Same winner?
Same winner.
On the professional side, Layman, what did you think about the fight, and what did you think about the Kovalev's strategy? Do you think that John David maybe perhaps wore him out in the first half of the fight? What did you think about the overall and the strategy that was employed on both sides?
Well, I have to say that the announcers do what they do what they do best. They're paid to announce the fight, but what they do is they in some way they encourage you to follow the fighter that they want to win. And that fighter last night was Kovalev. The great Emmanuel Stewart, rest in peace, he told me one time I was in camp with him for a Lennox Lewis fight. I was helping Lennox get ready for it. He said, son, if you want to study a fight, because I was trying to show him a fighter that I was going to be fighting and I wanted his opinion, he said, grab that remote right there and press mute. He said, now watch this fight. And then when I watched the fight, it gave me a whole different perspective. And it's funny, man, because he was 100% accurate with that, and I have used that for the rest of my career. And just like Jabron was saying, he watched that fight a few times, man. All one has to do, if they want to know who won the fight, is go back, put the TV on mute, and watch it again, and it will then remove all the doubt out of your mind about Andre Ward winning that fight. Because to sit there and listen to Max Kellerman and everybody that had a comment on this fight, you would have thought that Ward had clearly lost this fight, and the judges had lost their mind. So that's all I really have to say on that. I thought that Ward did what Ward does best, and that's go out there and think. That's go out there and figure his opponent out and break them down systematically, and I think that's exactly what he did. I don't think you can do a better job, man. He overcame the adversity when he got rocked. He overcame the adversity when he got dropped. And he pulled it back together, man. And I think that what he showed was how not to just win as a champion, but how to win in life. Because in life, a lot of times we get hit with the shot that knocks us off balance. we get hit with shots that knock us down. And I think Andre Ward proves that through faith and determination, you can do all things. And I'm very proud of him to win this fight because he fought a very, very, very dangerous and worthy opponent. And even he was gracious enough to say that, you know, you have to leave it in the hands of the judges, and if they would have judged him, if they would have given the decision another Kovalev, that he would have been okay with that. But they made the right decision, and I'm very proud and I'm very happy to say that, you know, I know this guy, man. He fought a great fight, so that's my two cents.
Well, once again, I need three more because, you know, I mean, we talk so much about Andre Ward. You know, there's been so much criticism, you know, and the controversy is, you know, I mean, as far as contracts and fight and whatnot. But, Layman, were you surprised that Andre put himself in harm's way as much as he did with a dangerous puncher like Kovalev? Did you think that did you think that Andre was going to engage as much as he did? And do you think that that engagement or that mindset is possibly what happened when he got knocked down in that second round?
Well, man, let me say this to you. I'm going to try to make sense, be real common. Sometimes in life, a man has to do what he has to do. Sometimes the only way through something, or shall I say the only way to the other side of something, is to go through it because you can't go around it. Maybe he felt boxing Kovalev would have given Kovalev too much confidence. And in the samurai world, the samurai say to live is to stand under the sword versus stand at the end of the sword where you get the deepest cuts, the life-threatening cuts. And for him to try to stay in there with Kovalev, I think that it was could also have been a strategy because I doubt very seriously Kovalev, knowing how hard he punches and John David Jackson, I doubt very seriously that they brought in sparring partners to try to stand toe-to-toe with them. I just don't think that they would have done that because they know his punching power is tremendous. So if you want to defeat your enemy, it's always the element of surprise that always beats your enemies, the punch you don't see, so to speak. So I think that he went in there with a masterful technical tactician plan, along with a lot of focus, concentration, dedication, and hard work. And as we say, hard work pays off, and I think that it paid off for him to become, you know, this world champion that he's now, you know. So, you know, I think he did everything he was supposed to do, man. And we don't know what his strategy was. We don't know what his mindset was. But even sometimes in fights, you have to adapt to your opponent. I can only think of myself personally when I fought Vladimir Klitschko. I am not, per se, an aggressive fighter, even though people would think that I am. I'm actually more of an aggressive defensive fighter, if that makes any sense. More so like a guy who I'll get in your face, but my intention was always to make you make a mistake, to make you show me the opening and then take advantage of it, not to go out there and just punch your brains out and knock you down. But in the case where I fought a Vladimir Klitschko, I could not do that. I had to go out there and I had to be first and last, and I had to give everything I had. And that was an adjustment that I had to make in order to win. The problem was, in my case, my opponents never got shorter. Everybody I fought was always tall, so I had to keep that style. And then the other downfall about that was that once they saw me knock Vladimir out, everybody was afraid to to fight toe-to-toe with me, so I had to switch up my plan and just keep coming forward. So in the case, you know, like Andre Ward, the question is, where do he go from here? I think that he should have a rematch, because I think that that's the only thing that's going to really give justification to him actually winning the title, because you got some diehard fans out here that ain't going to, you know, it's just like Trump won the election, they're going to go out and protest, you know what I mean? So it's like he might as well do it again to prove that it wasn't a fluke, and that's my two cents.
Well, can I add something to that?
Yeah, I was coming to you next, so go ahead.
After watching the fight those many times as I did, it's something that I picked up on, the X factor in the fight. And it came down to the trainers and something that the commentators, I haven't heard nobody talk about it, but I've noticed it later on in the fight that the language barrier with Don David Jackson and Kovalev is a problem, because he can't communicate to him the way that he want to communicate to him. Because if you watch, pay attention, when you rewatch the fight, when he goes to the corner, his translator talks to him first, and John David Jackson just listens. He just sits there. He don't say anything. He don't give any instructions until there's, what, minute or 30? Yeah, their minute is almost over. Then he'll say a couple of instructions. The translator will say something, and John David Jackson will just nod his head, and that's it. Where it's like it's no emotional connection. It's just that he's giving instructions and hoping that the translator translated it to Kovalev to the best of his ability, where Andre Ward and Virgil Hunter have an emotional connection. Because if you've seen some rounds where Virgil would grab him, pull him close to him, say certain things, give him instructions, and it was emotion there, where Kovalev is not getting that same of emotional connection and energy. What you think?
Yeah, Layman, can you comment on that? That connection, I know you have the same connection with your trainer. Can you tell us about that emotional connection? Because we've seen this, from Virgil before. I don't know if you watched when he trained Angulo, and Angulo lost the fight, and you could see the emotion in Virgil's face. And once again last night, you could see it was like a father beaming over his son. Layman, how much does that connection mean to a fighter when he's in deep place, knowing that he has all this pressure on him? What does that emotional connection between the fighter and his trainer, how does that help him get through, an important event?
So I think everybody that has any type of experience with having to do something that required encouragement, I think they'll be able to understand that. Because when you come back to your corner as a fighter, you know if they're telling you something, you can feel it just through the expression that they're giving you, the look on their face, the words, the pronunciation, when they're talking to you. Now, when you have a translator, you're probably looking at your trainer, but you're listening to your translator, and his emotion may not come off to the degree to motivate you, to stimulate you, to be able to pull out of the hat, if you will, the ace that you need to continue on in this in the fight to be successful. I can't imagine what that's like, man, because it's like when I go back to the corner, especially if it's a hard fight, if it's a fight I'm not sure. I mean, sometimes like a fighter, you know, I don't know what round it is. You know, it's like everything at that point is dependent upon my trainer. And if my trainer has to translate to someone and they have to translate it to me, then I just don't think spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, I don't think that I could really get the true feeling or understanding of what is being said. And then we also know that there's also a breakdown in translation when we come with the grapevine, that translator may not be able to really speak the words in that language that was said to him in a different language. Like maybe, yeah, okay, he understood it, but maybe when he's trying to tell this fighter, he probably could, you know, the breakdown in communication. And then you always got the grapevine, and I tell people I'm the worst at it. Don't tell me nothing, because if you tell me the car was blue and to tell the dude next to me, I'm going to say the car was blue, it was 80 degrees outside, and he was getting a speeding ticket and he had a flat tire at the same time. So I don't know what a translator would do in a world title fight with a million cameras and a billion people watching around the world, that kind of pressure, if he could accurately communicate with the fighter what needs to be done or said.
Yeah, I've always wondered, you know, about that. I mean, it's kind of like that was both ways, you know. So, you know, when you're doing something in translation, sometimes you do have to wonder whether or not the point is getting across. And that was one of the things that I used to think was a problem for the European fighters. We've had so many of them. In fact, you know, we still have Lomachenko getting ready to fight at the end of the month. Nicholas Waters, and I'm looking forward to that. But staying on the current thing, Layman, you know, there was a lot of criticism. Bob Arum said that when he had the pay-per-view with Crawford and Pastal, he only had about 100,000 views. Now they're predicting, as I said, you know, that this paper with Ward and Kovalev has had in the neighborhood, give or take, 300,000 views. Now, do you think that this, you know, makes Andre Ward a successful view? Do you think that he's going to have to have another extremely competitive fight, meaning a rematch with Lomachenko. I mean, excuse me, a rematch with Kovalev in order to really establish that he is a viable pay-per-view fighter. Your thoughts on that first, Jabron?
I mean, the thing is, yeah, but... But like the champ said, where do he go from here? Like, okay, they have a rematch. Then win, lose, or draw. Well, if he loses, of course, they're going to try to do a trilogy. But after he's done with Kovalev, where do he go from there? Where is he going to be able to get in the ring and attract enough fans where his opponent on the other side is going to be able to put butts in seats?
What are your thoughts on that as you close out?
You asking me my thoughts on it?
Yeah, has Andre established himself as a pay-per-view fighter, or does he need a rematch with Kovalev? And where does he go from here other than Kovalev?
I think that he's established himself because he got the victory over the guy that nobody thinks to be beat. The only other guy out there that has the type of name now in a whole other weight category would be Triple G. But what I'm saying is Kovalev was the one to be feared. Like, they didn't have the fear of Andre Ward because Ward isn't a puncher per se, but he beat the man. So I think that people are going to watch him to see what he's going to do next. I don't think that a rematch is necessarily required, but I think a rematch will be great to make sure that the ink is dry on the first defeat. I think that the next fight would actually be easier for him because he knows even more so what he's up against. And I wouldn't even be surprised if he wasn't even able to stop him, because I see if they had a rematch, I see Kovalev trying so hard and using emotion and bringing that into the ring against a crafty veteran like Andre Ward could actually spell doom in the way of being stopped because of the mistakes that he would make. I think it would be a great fight, but at the same time, even if they never fought again, I don't think that Ward has anything else to prove. He did that, you know, and I'm happy for him because he went through a lot, man. He went through a whole lot of inactivity, you know, promoters. So I'm happy that he got his just due at the end of the day, man. And Kovalev, I truly believe he still could come back and wreck the whole light heavyweight division minus Andre Ward. That's my two cents.
Yeah, and you can believe within the next 2 weeks, I will have Virgil or John David or both of them on the Pugilist Corner shortly. As usual, you know, I get to run in my mouth. We go over time. But, Lane, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media and give us your last words for the day, champ?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, Relentless Famous Brewster, record holder of the world's fastest knockout in the heavyweight championship fight, 53 seconds at the first round over Andrew Galata, 2005. I'm very proud of that. Shoot, man. Last man to knock off Vladimir Klitschko. you can follow me. It's Lamon Brewster, LamonBrewster. You can follow me at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You know, I just try to keep it real, and I thank you, JK, as always, and Jabron, you know, for allowing me to come on this show and chop it up with you guys and, you know, have some real boxing discussions, man, not the kind of discussions that, you know, are water based, so to speak, man. This is the real wine press, if you will. So I just wanna say thank you, man, and I'm always gonna be here as long as you allow.
Hey, thank you so much, my man, and look forward to talking to you next week, man.
Yes, sir.
Jabron, why don't you tell everybody, give us your last words and tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Most definitely. I'd just like to thank all the fans for supporting the show, supporting boxing. We had a great weekend of boxing. We still have more to come next week. We have Lomachenko versus Nicholas Walters. And thanks for the fans who gave shout-outs to the Pugilist Corner at the press conference in Brooklyn when I was wearing my Pugilist Corner shirt. They showed love. They said they seen us on the Internet. So thanks to those fans. And a couple of people took pictures of the shirt. So thanks to them also. And with that being said, you can find me, Facebook, Jabron, J-A-B-R-A-N, Clemon, C-L-E-M-O-N, and that's Facebook.
right, well, hey, my man, as usual, you know, we thank you for your time and your insights, and look forward to talking to you Tuesday. Like I said, I'm going to try within the next 2 weeks to see if we can get Virgil and John David Jackson on the show. You know, I look forward to that. So I'll do my best to make sure we have a great show these next couple of weeks talking to these great trainers. And, you know, look forward to talking with you Tuesday, as I said, on the Pugilist Corner. So I'll talk to you in a couple of days, and that'll be our show before Thanksgiving. And, hey, we, like I said, we do have some other great fights coming up this, at the end of this month, Mr. Nicholas Walters and Lomachenko. Boxing fans, keep watching boxing and, you know, supporting the sport. There is more to the sport than, you know, Floyd Mayweather, you know, and that's no detraction to anyone. But we need to support our young and upcoming fighters, Mr. Keith Thurman, Andre Ward, the Nicholas Walters, Lomachenko. We need to keep supporting our sport. You know, we're getting some of the best action that there is, even if it is on a lower level. And that's another thing that I'm going to talk about next week with our panel. Are these young fighters being brought along too fast in order to satisfy the entertainment part of boxing? So have a great weekend, everyone, and we look forward to talking to you next week. You can find me on the web as J.E. King III, also known as West Coast Steelers Fan on Twitter, and you can find the People's Corner. Sports Crib on Facebook. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week. Mm-hmm.